soldier in the Army of the Lord, the Pentecostal Shout Tradition. From National Public Radio and the Smithsonian Institution, I'm Bernice Johnson Regan, and this is Wade in the Water. Listening to I'm Encouraged, a contemporary Pentecostal shout song. It's performed by the Edwin Hawkins Singers. Everything about this arrangement says Pentecostal. Hawkins was raised in what is called the Church of God in Christ of the Pentecostal denomination. In the song I'm Encouraged, you can feel the urgency and pull of the voices, both in the call of the lead and the response of the ensemble. The pace of the song is such that as you listen, you can visualize the people in church on their feet shouting in what they call the holy dance. All of these qualities, the singing and the shouting, belong to the Pentecostal sacred music tradition. The music of the Pentecostal church, the subject of our program, has transformed 20th century African-American sacred music and greatly influenced the secular music field. Music is crucial to the Pentecostal worship service. It is the opening invitation from the congregants for the Spirit to come and have its way. And when the service turns so hot that people are spiritually taken to a peak, someone usually stands and sometimes walks the floor and sings, "Yeah, Lord."
That we call Yes, Lord.
Church of God in Christ pastor and Wade in the Water scholar, Dr. James Boyer.
In the Church of God in Christ, Charles Harrison Mason is credited with having been given a praise, we call it Yes, Lord, but one might say yes, or one might say thank the Lord or whatever, but it's the same tune and it's repeated over and over. We were told that the Lord gave him that because at the time he simply did not have the words to express how he was feeling. But the yes praise is the embodiment of total surrender to the will of God, whatever that will is. And when you say it, you and the Spirit become one.
You cannot grow up in the African-American community and not know Pentecostal music. I grew up Baptist, and we were not allowed to attend what we call sanctified or holiness churches. But we knew about it because we were drawn by the power of the music. We knew two sounds, the fast-driving rhythm of the shout songs with the tambourines as lead instruments that you could hear and feel down the block from the church, and the other is that deeply moving chant, "Yes, Lord," that seemed to reach down and touch the deepest part of your being. As a singer, I loved being caught up in a congregation when that chant began to rise. I think there are probably no gospel singers who don't know the chant, whether they are Pentecostal or not. You know it if you've heard and experienced this tradition. Reverend James Cleveland, while recording the historic collaboration with Aretha Franklin, turned to this chant when the session got spiritually fired.
Those of you that know he'll take care of you, let me hear you say yeah. Yeah. Say it again. Yeah. Say it again. Yeah. You know, over in the sanctified church, when they begin to feel like this, all the saints get together. Yes, they do. And they join in a little praise. Oh, yeah. I wonder, can I get you to help me say it one time?
The religious phenomenon of the 20th century is the Black Pentecostal Church. There is absolutely no doubt about it.
Wade in the Water scholar, Dr. Horace Clarence Boyer, also brother of Dr. James Boyer.
We began to get rumblings in the Baptist Church in the 1880s and 1890s because these people are saying, this is not as much of Christ as I want. I think I can go deeper. They wanted something a little deeper so that they started preaching holiness or hell.
The Pentecostal Church comes out of that late 19th century holiness movement. The transition from the holiness movement began with the work of white religious leaders like Reverend Charles Parham, who had his students searching biblical scripture to see if it would be possible for the Pentecost to occur in America. Reverend Parham traveled and preached his beliefs, and the movement swelled. In Texas, a Black minister named Reverend William Seymour heard him, and he was to become the founder of what became known as the Azusa Street Revival Movement.
In terms of the Pentecostal tradition, people regard Los Angeles as the headquarters or the place that stirred that particular movement, primarily because of the Azusa Street Mission or the Azusa Street Revival.
Ethnomusicologist Dr. Jacqueline J.J.
In 1906, a man by the name of Seymour migrated out to California, Los Angeles, and he started a revival. What he did in that revival was something that everyone was amazed with. He believed in, I guess, many of the foundations of the Pentecostal movement. The revival extended for about 2 years. So people from around the country would come and look at and observe and participate in this.
Then, of course, in 1906, when word comes to the East Coast that the Holy Ghost has fallen in Los Angeles, we have all of these people going out to Los Angeles to find out what this Holy Ghost is. And of course, you know, through these revivals being held by the Reverend Seymour, they are discovering the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. They were going into seizures. They looked over into Psalms 150, where David says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then David begins to stipulate what's going to work in this thing. He talks about the cymbal, the high-sounding cymbal, string instruments, the trumpet, the timbrel, the harp, and all of these things. And these people take the man literally.
Bishop Samuel Kelsey from Washington, D.C., was one of the powerful singers and ministers who came out of the Church of God in Christ Pentecostal movement. This recording of Heaven is Mine was made in 1949. As you listen to it, try to get a feel for the overall energy that is created by the singing and the shouting and the playing of the instruments.
First singers in the Pentecostal movement were preachers. Those were the ones who went out to Los Angeles. Those were the ones who joined with Mason in this new movement so that they were going to teach the songs to their congregations. And this new song was based on the old song being the Negro spiritual, which was a communal song, something for a leader, something for the congregation.
Amen! Amen! By that time, I did say one of the Saturday food with a live coal off the altar, touched his lip, and told him his naked to the bird. His sin was washed away. Amen! He heard a voice say, who will go? He said, here am I! Send me!
Bishop Samuel Kelsey, moving from preaching his sermon to singing his sermon, and tell me how long has the train been gone?
Tell me how long. Tell me how long.
They go out and get cymbals and tambourines and triangles, snare drums and bass drums. And in those days, they made washboards, which were made out of some sort of metal or tin. And the washboard had ridges in it so that as you carried the clothes back and forth, this interruption would cause the dirt to move. But if you took those ridges and took a clothes hanger and rubbed it up and down those ridges, what a marvelous percussive sound that would give, because they had developed a kind of song which we believe was even performed at a faster tempo than the songs that they had sung during slavery. For example, the fast songs during the slavery era were songs like, in that great getting up morning, fare you well, fare you well. In that great getting up morning, fare you well, fare you well. As a matter of fact, they were called jubilees because they were the hot numbers. These were the songs to which folk would execute the shout.
Now, the up-tempo songs that came out of slavery during the 19th century and moved into the 20th century continued within the Baptist churches. Listen to a song that became one of the most popular Pentecostal shout songs, Soldier in the Army of the Lord, performed by the United Southern Prayer Band of Baltimore, Washington, and Virginia in a South Carolina Southern Baptist style.
On the battlefield, in the army of the Lord, on the battlefield, in the army,
oh my Lord, done God
in the army of the Lord.
Now listen to the same song performed in a Pentecostal shout tradition led by the Gay Sisters of Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
sisters perform I'm a Soldier in the Army of the Lord with piano, tambourine, and organ accompaniment. But in the beginning, as Horace Boyer describes, the congregations that were Pentecostal did not have all of these instruments.
They didn't have a piano. They didn't have an organ because most of their meetings were held in the street. They called them street meetings. Occasionally we'll run across some of those. And then they were held in the living rooms of the parishioners. Then when they could get in a church that had a piano, they didn't have anyone who could play the kind of music that they wanted because everybody had been trained to play. And that certainly was not going to work when you're singing, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, soldier in the army. One of the first persons to say, we've got to do something about this, was a woman named Juanita Arizona Drains.
Arizona Drains was born around 1900, 1905 in Texas. By the time she was a teenager, she was blind. She was known as a virtuoso pianist, and she was a convert to the Church of God in Christ.
In the 20s and 30s, Samuel Crouch, Andre Crouch's uncle, was preaching out in Texas. This is before the family moved to California. He's Church of God in Christ. He recruits Arizona Drains to play for him. There is no sanctified style of playing the piano. There is no gospel style of playing the piano. So what Arizona and the others do is to borrow from what's already there. We have the hymn. And the music that is the most popular is ragtime, a two-beat feel. The more popular one, that sort of two-beat feel. And then we have a sort of barrel house music. Now, we have the hymn tradition. We have the ragtime. We have the barrel house. And Arizona, and we know this from her 1928 recordings that early. No, 1926. She starts recording for OK Records in 1926. And she takes all of these elements and she puts them together. But this is the way Arizona would play that.
Arizona Drains and her recording of I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go.
And that's what the sanctified people were using in the 20s and in the 30s. But what is important about that? That rhythm.
The founder of the church, Bishop Charles Mason, encouraged the new converts to play for the uplift and praise of the Lord, and to do so using the instruments and the style of music they had performed when they were in the world or outside of the church community.
Having been raised around Memphis, he then went back and began to minister to people, to some of the most visible social outcasts in the Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee area.
James Boyer.
Many of the people who, we use the term got saved, many of the people who got saved in the 1906, 1907 decade were gamblers. Many of them were alcoholics. And Mason began ministering to these people. Some of them sang in speakeasies and nightclubs. And when they came to the church, as it were, they brought with them that rhythm.
At the same time, the recording industry, which began to do records of black church music and preaching during the 20s, continued to look for new talent. During the 30s, they began to record a young woman who was Pentecostal, Church of God in Christ, born in Arkansas. Her name was Rosetta Newbin. We know her as Rosetta Tharpe, and her singing and guitar playing made her one of the major recording artists during the 30s and 40s. Here's a 1949 recording of Rosetta Tharpe and her mother, Katie Bell Newbin, in a duet creating a wonderful kind of call and echo pattern in their performance of Daniel in the Lion's Den.
Yeah.
The recording industry was pivotal in the spread of the Pentecostal singing tradition. Evangelistic singer Ernestine Washington began her recordings in 1943. Her vocal solo style was definitely Pentecostal in terms of sheer vocal power. As a soloist, she was known for wringing everything you could get out of a gospel ballad. Listen to one of her most popular songs, recorded in 1957, Thank You, Lord.
I have so much to thank my Jesus for.
Bishop Charles Emmanuel Grace, called Daddy Grace, founded the United House of Prayer for All People. The worship services of this denomination included a strong shout tradition in the Pentecostal style, but with a wonderful brass band section. Now, in the early recordings, you will hear the horn in the congregation, and it is usually the trombone. Daddy Grace's bands had huge trombone sections. I'm talking anything from 12 to 16 trombones operating as the lead instrument. Willie Bolden is a member of Harlem's United House of Prayer for All People, and he plays with the Sons of Thunder Brass Band.
The role that the music plays, it has a way of bringing the minds together. You know, picture a 100 by 300 square foot building, and everyone is going about doing their own thing. Now, the music, what it does is puts you on like an agreeable pattern whereby you rejoice together.
Thank you.
most shout starts with a song that generally the church know. And you may have the people singing along with you. Now, at a point, you leave that song and you go out into a sphere whereby you're not in that song anymore. The spirit is taking over and you are making music that even you yourself can't plan, nor you don't even know what note you're gonna play next. All you know, it happens.
In 1936, Bluebird Records recorded a United House of Prayer congregation in Charlotte, North Carolina. The pastor was Reverend Otis Jones, and the song was, "Oh Lord, I'm Your Child."
Fire! Ain't you glad because you got the Holy Ghost and fire? Well, let us all praise God together.
Singers from the Church of God in Christ, and those singers who operate out of the Pentecostal style, like the United House of Prayer musicians, dominated the earliest recordings of African American sacred music that was released by record companies. These musicians had a tremendous impact on the development of gospel during the 30s and the 40s. The music traveled across denominations. The sound and the singers and the members of the congregations. The Boyer brothers are an excellent example. They grew up in a Church of God in Christ congregation in Florida. James Boyer.
My brother Horace Boyer and I began singing together when we were 11 and 12, and both of us had attended these services all our lives up to that point. What we found is that people in Baptist churches and Methodist churches and white people in Episcopal churches even enjoyed the high rhythmic performance of these songs, which we considered everyday songs. And so we began singing these songs. And when we were 15 and 16, we were in Nashville, Tennessee, and got our first recording contract and made our first recordings in a radio station with a piano. We found that these records, with the first one being Step by Step, we found that these records then were played on the radio, and people all over the country heard them. They heard them in California, and they would then call the radio station or write the record company to see how they could get in touch with us, and we began a traveling experience, which took us into about 30 states.
Step by step, I'm nearing the kingdom. Oh, step by step, I'm going home. Jesus will welcome me in his kingdom. Oh, step by step, died upon the cross. step by step.
Step by Step by the Boyer Brothers. One of the gospel groups who became famous during the 50s, who also came out of the Pentecostal tradition, was the Davis Sisters of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Their mother was a pastor of the Five Baptized Holiness Church in Philadelphia. And all of the girls grew up in that sanctified tradition. And if you listen to the Davis Sisters' recordings, what you hear is a number of those songs that came out of that Pentecostal experience.
Feet on Higher Ground by the Davis Sisters. In some cases, gospel singers who were Baptists drew upon the Pentecostal style. Horace Boyer.
Say someone like Clara Ward, who was a Baptist, but who had in her group Marion Williams from Miami, Florida, who is still singing today. Marion was a Church of God in Christ person and insisted that to Clara, if we're going to sing these songs this way, we've got to have some rhythm into it. So this is what Clara would do. See, the left hand is not doing anything, and the beat is da, 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 but you give it either by. Thank you.
heart singers and packing up, led by the Pentecostal shouter Marion Williams. The Pentecostal singers brought a jumping rhythm to gospel that was unmistakable. For a contrast to the Davis sisters' Plant My Feet on Higher Ground and the Ward singers' Packing Up, listen to the slower Baptist style of composer Roberta Martin with the recording of Saved, led by Eugene Smith. The gospel choir began to grow in popularity during the 60s. The Church of God in Christ remained an important presence. Matty Moss Clark is one of the most important choir directors within that denomination and in the field of gospel music.
All of her choirs fasted and prayed. There was always a very spiritual atmosphere. And that's when I found out the anointing really makes a difference.
Composer and choir director, Reverend Donald Vales.
But it was amazing that here was a woman with no formal musical training who could stand before 800 or 900 choir members and teach them a song in 5 minutes and make them enjoy it. But what amazed me was that not only did they learn the music, but they had a fantastic time doing it. And they were sorry when she ended the rehearsal at whatever hour, because it was as if she was taking life and joy away from them. And these were factory workers. Most of Detroit is blue collar. These were people who had to be on the line, as they call it, at 5:30 a.m. in the morning. And they loved being up to 1 and 2 o'clock with her, knowing they'd get 1 hour of sleep before they had to head out for the factories, which were sometimes 40 miles away from where they lived.
Sanctify Me Holy by the Southwest Michigan State Choir under the direction of Matty Moss Clark. The immense talent of Clark continued through her children.
I trained my daughters. I trained them when they were little kids. They all sang together. They're the Clark sisters. Oh, definitely. The music came from really from within me, because I started training them first.
Put those hands together at this time for Jackie, Dorinda, Karen, and Twinkie, the Clark sisters.
Sisters are known for their contemporary gospel arrangements, as in My Redeemer Liveth. They grew up in the Church of God in Christ, and they also know how to come from their Pentecostal music base. This is clearly indicated in their performance of Hallelujah. There really is nothing like the experience of being in the middle of a Pentecostal service. Pentecostal Church redefined 20th century African American sacred music for worship. It is singing that is created with everything you have focused and channeled for the making of the music. And the memory of the shouts and the physical and spiritual force that is expressed never leaves you. The West Angeles Church of God in Christ Choir performs the most challenging contemporary compositions and arrangements. And when the time comes, they raise their voices and instruments in the tradition of the shout. If you call on Jesus, he will answer prayer.
If you call on Jesus,
soldier in the Army of the Lord, the Pentecostal Shout Tradition. This program is a part of the Wade in the Water series produced by National Public Radio and the Smithsonian Institution. The senior producer is Judy Moore Latta, Associate Producer Sonia Williams, Technical Director Renee Pringle, Production Staff Beverly Oliver, Joseph Gill, Dakia Simmons, Ev Grimes, Injamili Carol Rollins, and Tawan Mercer. United House of Prayer for All People Band, recorded by Nick Spitzer and Paris Morgan. Special thanks to Tanya Bolden. The executive producer is Sandra Ratley Lewis, and I'm conceptual producer, Bernice Johnson Regan.
Major funding for Wade in the Water, African American Sacred Music Traditions, was provided by a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Additional support was provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Catholic Communication Campaign, a parishioner-funded program that gets the good news around. This is NPR, National Public Radio.